Leviticus 25 and verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And I would like to say good morning to you today, this Tuesday morning, October the 30th, live in the studio at WATA. And it's good to be here. And we're going to be bringing you the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. I am Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located just a few miles outside of Boone on Highway 105 South. You take a right on Baird's Creek Road. We are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, and we'd love for you to come and visit with us if you're in the area. If you're looking for a church home, we have Sunday school, 10 a.m. for all ages, a Sunday morning worship service at 11, second and fourth Sunday nights at 6 p.m., and then every Wednesday night at 7 p.m., our prayer meeting and Bible study. So we'd love for you to come and visit with us. If, like I said, you do not have a church home or you are visiting in the area, I hope you'll stay with us today. You're probably ready for a little break concerning all the talk about the weather and cancels and closings and all of those things. So we're going to be with you for the next 30 minutes, and I'm going to talk about the subject of the perfect storm. But before I get into that, I want to say good morning to Noah Greer. He's here in the studio with me this morning. Good morning. How are you today, Noah?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. We want to say welcome to our listeners. We really do appreciate our listeners, those listening in right here on AM 1450 in Boone, those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia, and also those who are listening in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, in Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate our listeners, and thank you, Noah, for doing that. What do you think about this weather getting out today?
It's cold. It's rough.
It's worse than it looks, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
The worst thing is the wind, and the roads are pretty bad as well, but we got out and brave the weather, thought it was important enough to come over and be here live on the radio broadcast this morning. So I appreciate Noah coming along as well. And I want to say, first of all, today that certainly our hearts, our prayers go out to those many across our nation suffering today. I've seen just a little bit watching the news here and there this morning, power out across 17 states. That is a lot of people that are affected just in losing your power. And homes burnt up in New York City, cities flooded, and I mean, there's people, loss of life, ships sinking, and just a lot of things going on. And certainly it ought to touch our hearts. I was watching some of the interviewing they were doing with people, and people that had lost their homes, and you know, that's really a upsetting time. And so our hearts go out, our prayers are with those that have lost loved ones, those whose homes and businesses have been destroyed, those who are working on the rescue crews, first responders, firemen, people who work on the power lines. There's just a lot of people putting a lot at stake to try to get our nation back together. And you know, the storm, talking about Hurricane Sandy, is not over yet. So we're praying for our people that are out here serving and working, and those who have lost loved ones and whose lives have been disrupted by all of this. And so our hearts go out today, and we're trying to pray for all those who are affected. And I want to talk just a little while today on the subject of the perfect storm. This is something that I have mentioned here on the radio broadcast before. Some of our listeners will know that when I say the perfect storm, that was actually a book. It was written by a man named Sebastian Junger. It was a bestseller, and they turned it into a movie by the same name, The Perfect Storm. This book, this movie that I'm talking about, was inspired by a real storm, a storm that has several things in common with the storm that we are experiencing right now in America And of course, I'm referring to what's going on last night, today. Really been in the news. If you don't know about it, my goodness, where have you been? You just woke up. You just come here from another planet. I'm talking about Hurricane Sandy. Now, for one thing that these storms have in common is they have the same date. Today, October the 30th, 2012, is the 21-year anniversary of the original perfect storm. And those who are regular listeners, you'll recognize, as I said, I have mentioned this before. Now, the significance of the storm, they called it the perfect storm. It was a very odd storm. I'm talking about the one 21 years ago. It traveled 1,000 miles, what the meteorologist at that time said, backwards. You know, most of our weather patterns in the United States, they travel east. Well, this storm traveled west. It did not originate in the south. It originated in the north, and it traveled, what they say, backwards 1,000 miles. And it traveled and did millions of dollars worth of damage all the way from Maine to Florida. You know, this storm that we're having right now, it started in the south, and it's headed and going into the north. Well, the perfect storm, the one that happened 21 years ago on this same day, it started in the north and it traveled to the south. So that's why we say it traveled opposite to what the storm patterns in America usually travel in. And just a very unique storm. It did millions of dollars worth of damage all the way from Maine to Florida. The most interesting damage, and what I'm going to talk about today, was the damage that was done to President George H.W. Bush's family home in Kennebunkport, Maine. Now, I may have pronounced that wrong. I'm not real up on my Maine pronunciation, but he had a family home, a vacation home in the state of Maine, and that storm did a lot of damage to his home there. Now, at the time the storm was ravaging Mr. Bush's home in Maine, Mr. Bush was actually abroad. He was in Madrid, Spain, at the opening of the Madrid Peace Conference. And at that same time that Mr. Bush was over there, the Madrid Peace Conference eventually turned into the Oslo Peace Accords. It became standard doctrine from that point forward for American policy to promote Israel giving away covenant land. And so Mr. Bush was over there, and you know, the Iraq War was over. He picked this up, and it was really the beginning of the end of his popularity and his time as president. Of course, Mr. Bush was just a one-term president. Talking about Elder Bush, some of you listening in today may not even realize that's who I'm talking about, but I'm talking about Elder Bush, Mr. Bush. And he was promoting this peace plan where Israel would give up covenant land for peace. And when I talk about covenant land, I'll just insert this in quickly. What I'm talking about, when American policy promotes and pressures Israel to give up covenant land, we're talking about land that God, I'm talking about in the Bible, promised the descendants of Abraham that would be their land. And of course, they inhabit today a very small portion of the land that actually God promised them. But whenever our nation pushes or pressures Israel to give up covenant land for peace, then there is always repercussions from that. And so Mr. Bush was over there, and he began to promote at that time a territorial compromise. He didn't have a map. He didn't say what the conditions were, but he began to promote that Israel was going to have to give up land in order to have peace. That always brings about a bad result for the United States of America. And so at the same time, I'm talking about the same day, October 30th, 1991, the same time Mr. Bush was touching the apple of God's eye, he gave the opening speech over there in Madrid, Spain. At the same time he was doing this, half a world away, God was simultaneously touching the apple of his eye. And that was his home, his family home in Maine that he thought so very much about. I have a book here in the studio this morning, and I realize you can't see that, but I wish you could. A picture's worth a thousand words. And in this book, the title of the book is How Satan Turned America Against God. It's by Dr. William P. Grady. It's a wonderful book. It's over 900 pages, and it has a lot of information in it. And in this book, he has some pictures. In one of those pictures, he has a picture of the New York Times, New York, Friday, November the 1st, 1991. On the same front page, on the left-hand side, it has Atlantic Storm Batters the Northeast Again. It's talking about this storm we're talking about. On the right-hand side, I'm talking about at the very top of the page, front page headline, it says Middle East Foes List Demands and Trade Angry Charges Across Conference Table, and it's talking about what was going on at the Madrid, in Madrid, Spain, and the peace meeting that they were having over there with President Bush. Now, it goes on and explains in the book how that as soon as Mr. Bush got back to the United States, he canceled all of his speaking engagements. He went to his home in Maine to inspect the damage. And in this picture I'm looking at, Mr. Bush, he's inside his home, and he is standing upon piles and piles of furniture. It looks like beds, couches, chairs turned over, draperies torn off the windows, closet doors ripped off their hinges, dresser turned upside down, wallpaper ripped off the wall. This is where the waves from that storm crashed into his home. And it talks about an interview that Mr. and Miss Bush gave after that, and they were very emotional about their home and how much it meant to them, and how that some of the family heirlooms could never be replaced. They had been carried out to sea, and they talk about how much it meant to them and what a hard blow it was to them personally as a family. I believe it was last January I preached a message. I talked about Israel in the Bible. I talked about this very thing in that message, and I gave a title to this portion of the message. I called it An Eye for an Eye, meaning, now, those of you that are Bible readers, you will know that God refers to Israel as the apple of his eye. For example, in Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible said, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye." So in that message I said, you know, you touch that, you touch the apple of God's eye, God will touch the apple of your eye. And so that's why I said an eye for an eye. And it has been exactly 21 years since the perfect storm came to the coasts of America and did so much damage. Now, those of you that are Bible readers, you will know that the number 21 and numbers in the Bible mean things. The number 7 is God's number of completion. It's been 21 years. This is 3 times 7. The number 7 is a complete number, a perfect number. The number 21 also is the same number. It's been 3 sevens, 3 series of 7s, 21 years since the perfect storm. There's another book I would highly recommend, and I've had people ask me about this book, and actually there's a update to this book now that is just now coming out. It's by Mr. John P. McTernan, and it's entitled As America Has Done to Israel. And underneath it says the result, Massive National Disasters. And Mr. McTernan does an excellent job of laying out the case that from that time, October the 30th, 1991, from that time forward in America, something changed in our relationship to Israel. We began to push Israel to give up covenant land. And of course, the Word of God has a great deal to say about this. For example, Joel chapter 3 and verse number 2, the Bible said, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. There is a curse in the Bible upon any nation that would part the heritage land, the land of Israel. God said, I'll bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. This is a reference to the battle of Armageddon, where the Bible teaches that the nations will gather against the Lord, and God himself will fight against the nations of the world. But Mr. McTernan does an excellent job in laying out specifically instances of our nation being punished at the exact same time that our nation was pushing Israel to give up covenant land. He makes the case that since October 30th, 1991, he puts it like this, that America has been on a collision course with God. And he goes on and he covers in this book three presidencies, from Bush to Clinton, Bush 41, then to Bill Clinton, who we had 8 years, and then President Bush, number 43, that we had for 8 years as well. And he talks in that about how they dealt with Israel. Clinton, for example, was very friendly to Yasser Arafat. He lays out in the book, and I do not have time to go through it today, but he lays out in the book that every time that Arafat came to America, a natural disaster happened at the same time. There was some kind of disaster that came to America, and he lays it out in the book. It is undisputable when things happen on the same day. What are you going to do about it? I'm going to read just a short paragraph out of his book. He said, these warning judgments occurred through all three presidencies, regardless of party affiliation, meaning it didn't matter if it was Republicans or the Democrats. He said, and resulted in some of the greatest natural disasters in the nation's history. These include Hurricane Andrew, the Northridge earthquake. Some of you may not remember the Northridge earthquake, but what was significant about that earthquake in California is it basically destroyed a major part of the pornographic filmmaking industry in America. That was where, and I can't remember exactly now, but I want to say 90% of pornographic films were made at that time in the 1990s, and it was destroyed. The Northridge earthquake, and then he says, and Hurricane Katrina. These disasters occurred on the very days the United States government pressured Israel to divide the land. And I want to give another, for instance, this morning as we move along. I mentioned this back in August right here on the Blessings of Liberty. August 29th, 2012 is when Hurricane Isaac hit New Orleans and the surrounding area. Now, Isaac in the Bible, you may know this, you may not, but the name means laughter. You know, when God told Abraham and Sarah they were going to have a son, of course, Sarah was 90 years old. She laughed. And that's why his name is Isaac. It means laughter. But anyway, the name Isaac means laughter. And August 29th, 2012, I'm talking about just a couple of months ago now, that was supposed to also be the starting day of America's largest LGBT festival in the country. It's called Southern Decadence. LGBT is lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender festival. And this festival's been going on since I want to say it started even in the late 70s, but it was mainly when it started, it was male homosexuals, and they would gather in New Orleans. Well, of course, they didn't have it when Isaac came 2 months ago. It was canceled. And that day was exactly 7 years to the day since Katrina hit 7 years earlier. Katrina hit New Orleans August 25, 2005. That also caused the Southern Decadence Festival to be canceled. That's not the only time that weather has caused that festival to be canceled. It was also canceled August 25th, 2008. Three times on the same day. That time it was Tropical Storm Gustav. That caused New Orleans to be evacuated. And I know how people are. I know exactly how people are. People are like this for the most part. Oh, that doesn't mean a thing. That doesn't mean a thing. You know, and why not every other year there be a hurricane and things like that? I mean, that is pretty much predominantly the attitude that you have in America. All you preachers and you religious people talking about the judgment of God, why don't you shut up? You know, we're tired of hearing about it. There's just something that a lot of people don't know about sin and judgment, and that is that judgment, when the judgment of God comes, it does not soften, it hardens people's hearts. People don't get softer when judgment comes. I mean, when they've been turned over to the judgment of God, they get harder and harder and harder against the Lord. The book of Romans says that it is the goodness of God that leads thee to repentance. It's not the wrath of God, it's the goodness of God. When we look around and we say, boy, God's been good to me, God's been merciful to me, God has given me another chance, God has kept me alive through my mistakes and errors and sins, and he's extended his hand, and then that's when people turn to the Lord. But when God sees that people will never turn from their sin, and he begins to judge a nation, people get harder and harder against the Lord. And I believe that's where we are in America. These judgments, these great catastrophes throughout our land, have not softened the people of America. Americans have gotten harder and harder against the Lord. They have said, and I taught through this all summer long right here on the radio broadcast, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10, the bricks are falling down. They said, but we will build. We'll build greater. We'll come back stronger. And you have this attitude in America that, you know, God has no hand in what we do, and we'll just pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, and we'll go on, and we'll rebuild, et cetera, et cetera. And that's how people are. All that stuff doesn't mean anything. And that's one of the things that leads me to believe that we, as a nation, have passed from warning judgments to destruction judgments, where God would destroy the whole nation and bring our nation down. If you really look at what's happened over the past few years, it's one thing after another. You look at the drought this past summer. You look at the great loss of crops, which affected 70-80% of the farming belt. And now this storm, this Hurricane Sandy, is affecting 1,000 miles, 17 states, blizzards, fires, flooding, all of these things. Oh, that doesn't mean nothing. That's what people say. I cut this article out last year. This was in the Winston-Salem Journal, Tuesday, September the 6th, 2011. So this is over a year ago. This was it's a second opinion. It's in the editorial section, and the title to the article says this. It's by a lady named Tina DuPay from Kegel Cartoons, and the title of the article says The Case for Separation of Church and Weather. And she goes down through this article and makes fun of, you know, anybody saying that that God has anything to do with the weather. That's basically what she's saying, that anybody that says that is a nutcase and a nut job, and, you know, people are tired of hearing that. And she talks about some things, hurricane, the earthquake last year on the East Coast. She mentions that. She mentions the hurricane a week after that. And she comes down to the end of the article, and she says this. She says, it's time to build a wall or a levee between church and weather. National disasters aren't punishment, and religion isn't a Doppler radar. She goes on down the next paragraph, and she's talking about the weather again. She says, what does this mean? Nothing. It means church and weather should get a divorce and block each other's numbers. Since church and state are no longer the same thing, church should secede from climatology. It's not for the sake of the weather. It's really for the sake of the church's credibility. Because really, and she's being sarcastic here, because really, we could stop letting gays marry, eat all our vegetables, never cheat on our spouses, and get to church 3 times a week. It won't stop the weather or the world. So she's mocking. She's making fun of anybody saying that God has anything to do with the weather. And, you know, personally, really, it doesn't matter to me if somebody thinks I'm crazy or not. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says and try my very best to do that in a faithful, correct context from the Word of God. But the evidence is there for anybody that really wants to see it. It's more than coincidence that disaster after disaster has happened in the United States of America at the same time that we are pushing Israel to divide the land, that we are promoting great gross sin in our land and legalizing things that one time used to be illegal. I mean, you turn on the television, watch the news, our nation is in a mess. Changing presidents is not going to change that. You turn on the news, it looks like some sci-fi movie out of Hollywood, only it's not. It's real. Our many, many problems in America are spiritual, and so are the answers. I woke up last night during the storm. The power went out at my house, and I thought about the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3 and verse number 2, where the prophet over there, he sees, he's laid out the case for the judgment of God to the nation, and he sees a vision of the judgment of God coming upon his nation. And when he sees that vision of God's judgment coming, he says this prayer in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. He said, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and wast afraid. And the speech, if you read the context there, what he's talking about, God's judgment, was in part the God using nature to come against the nation of Israel. Natural disasters, the enemy coming, drought coming, pestilence coming, fire coming, all of these things he mentions, and he sees a vision of it, and he says, I heard thy speech and wast afraid. If you get time, read Habakkuk chapter number 3. There are several references to the overflowing. For example, in verse 10, the mountains saw thee and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. Flooding is a sign also of the judgment of God. But he saw this judgment and he said, I was afraid. And he went on and he said, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath. Remember mercy. And you know, it might be too late for our nation to be saved, but it's not. It's never too late for God's work to be revived. And so we're praying for a revival of the work of God in these last days. Today be a good time to reflect, read your Bible, think about eternal things. Thank you for listening. Here's the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website, mountlebanonbc.org.